All right. Joining us from the land of cement ponds.
I want to find out how rich he is.
Here is the producer, the writer, the Emmy Award winner.
You will be introduced that way forever.
That's in my deal now, yes.
My name is Earl. Here is our friend Greg Garcia.
Yeah. You are the man, Greg.
How are you guys?
Hi.
We are doing great. Not as great as you, friend.
Things are good.
That was a hell of a funny speech.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be nominated, another thing to win, and then another thing entirely in an award show like that to get up and bring down the room. And, I mean, you actually slayed him with that. I was laughing out loud. That was did you think it would go over as well, your speech, as it did?
You know, I had high hopes for it. You know, I wanted to get up there and do something different. It was funny. I turned to my wife right before they announced my category, and I said, listen, I don't know if I'm going to have time to thank people and do my bit. You know what that means, right? and she said, yes, I know what that means. So, yeah, it felt good. But once I got that first laugh, I was like, all right, this is going to work.
That's great.
Did you think realistic? I mean, I know you had something planned, but what were the odds in your head that you were going to win a goddamn Emmy?
You know, you never know. It was tough competition. You got Ricky Gervais up there and you know, episodes of really good shows.
That's the guy from the Real Office show, the one in
exactly.
Britain.
Exactly. He was
funny
nominated
as hell
for that extras. But the one thing I had going for me was it was a pilot, which I wrote it by myself, and all the other episodes were written by staff, so sometimes they recognize pilots. So, you know, I thought I had a decent chance. I thought I have enough of a chance that I prepared something.
How important is it? I mean, in somebody that, I mean, you're a producer, you do writing, obviously, but you are an executive producer. You know, when you do that, how does that change things for somebody that does what you do, which is basically a behind-the-scenes role? How does that change? Does that open up some stuff for you as much as it would for actors?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, you know, the success of the show opens things up for you. But as far as the Emmy, I mean, for me, the best part of it was the fact that you get to go up there on national TV and tell a couple jokes and thank your parents and your sister and your wife and kids and then get off of there, and then it's pretty much over.
Very cool.
What I think, besides the fact that the show is great, and Greg will take calls from folks, because we want you to know how much everybody loves the show. What I think is great about the show, besides the show itself, is the way it's promoted. I think the clip that they've been running for like the last 3 weeks is one where Earl says something like, Marty, churchy farty. I
mean, Hertzky, Bertsky, fart, and churchky.
Yeah, now, you know, the first time I heard that, I laughed. And then like the 30th time I heard it, I laughed. And I realized NBC is running a promo that says fart in it like every 25 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
And which means things maybe are moving back in the right direction.
And they got no problem with
and
it.
And my favorite part of it is the promo goes, Emmy winner for best comedy writing.
Right! That's why it's
Martin Churchky.
That's why it is doubly freaking funny. So anyway, congratulations on that. Now, tonight, I know you're uptight, and you've got this time slot. However, you should know that this Grey's Anatomy thing, I'm sure you do, but if you don't, the first hour of this is just a recap.
That is just a recap. We got Survivor against us. You know, it's the new time slot, but the truth of the matter is they got nothing else. What are they going to do, cancel us?
Right.
I mean, so,
all right, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, so there's no pressure. You know, I know that we did great episodes so far this year, and so I would be nervous if, like, the episodes were bad and people were going to write, oh, they're slipping and everything. But I think the episodes are, everybody will be happy with that, and that's all I care about.
I would imagine that, you know, you've had the experience with Yes, Dear. And after you get one season under your belt and the show catches on a little bit, you get a little familiarity, does it get a little easier in that second season? I don't think down the road, but in that second season, a little easier to churn them out?
It gets a little easier because the writers, you know, you started writing last year with a bunch of people for the most part that you didn't know. I had some writers that I brought in with me, but I had written one script and it became a pilot and you didn't know what the series was. So then throughout the year, everybody kind of gets a feel for it. They get in my head of what I want to do. And so in that sense, the second season is a little smoother.
All right. And let me see, before we get to these phone calls, Jesus Christ, Jason Lee, do you have his full attention if this show happens to run for, you know, five, 6 years. Has he made that commitment to you that he'll be Earl for the whole time the show's on?
Oh yeah, I mean he had to make that decision right off the bat. They make him sign a 7-year contract. But,
wow.
Yeah, so it's actually rougher for the actors because I only have to sign a 2-year deal and they have to sign a 7-1.
Well, no, that would suck, but that would be like akin to someone being on the West Wing, right? And then that guy, I mean, you wouldn't leave the show because you got caught with mushrooms or whatever happened to Aaron Sorkin, but he leaves the West Wing and the show continues without him. It sucked without him, but it continued without him.
Yeah,
you could never picture My Name Is Earl continuing without you, could you?
It would be hard to see that, you know, but.
Oh, you know what? That's the first chink in your armor. You know what? Hollywood boy.
No, but can I tell you something? Hollywood boy this, because the only reason it would go on without me is because I pack up my family and go back to Virginia because I don't like Hollywood.
Yeah, you hate the experience out there?
I mean, look, things are going good, but for the most part, I'd rather be back with my family. And stuff
what is the worst part? Greg, I'm going to ask you, what's the worst part in your opinion of Hollywood? What's the worst thing
about
it?
All the BJs. all the handies he gets.
I've met a lot of people I like, but you meet a lot of people you don't like. But you're going to have that anywhere, yeah. You know. But for us personally, the worst part, you know, is just specific to us because all of our family, my wife and my family, are back on the East Coast.
Okay, yes.
Well, hey, hold on a second. Mr. Hollywood boy.
Yes.
Mr. Emmy Award winner. Why don't you move your family to where the food is? Why don't you move your family out to Los Angeles?
Are you still worried that would be committing too much?
No, I would love that. In fact, I've moved some of them. My cousin's a PA on the show. My brother-in-law does our props. I would move them all out here if they'd come. They're all kind of...
See, when you said family, I thought you talked about your wife and kids.
Oh, no. My wife and kids are here. I'm talking about the grandparents, the sisters, the uncles, everything.
Oh, no, keep that.
Leave them alone.
I mean, what do you want it to turn into, an MTV Cribs?
Well, that's what I thought you were suggesting, that I got to bring them all out here.
Now, is it all My Name Is Earl for you, or are you spinning other webs simultaneously?
I'm just doing My Name Is Earl. I'm here 18 hours a day. I mean, it's ridiculous, and so I just do that, and that's all for now.
Well, listen, here's all that I request of you personally. You mentioned that you gave your brother a PA job. You were nice enough to be in contact with Bart, who is entering his third year at Clemson and is really into everything that your business is about. And you threw that thing out. They said you get through school and I get you a PA job. I'm telling you, that boy is hanging on that like it is his last rope. Like, God, I'm about to fall off this cliff, but
that's not a problem. I am a man of my word. I know we will get him a PA job.
I know you are simply the greatest, and for that,
and hopefully he won't have to clean gum off of some producer's shoe.
I wouldn't mind having him clean the toilets, for God's sake.
You know, that teacher called me, Mr. McAdoo. He called me the next day.
Did he really?
Yeah, and he's happily retired in Florida with his life partner Jose Garcia.
You don't like Mr. McAdoo. You do not like Mr.
No,
McAdoo.
I love him.
You sad life partner.
He lets about did Mr. McAdoo know you were going to slide him out of that closet now?
He was very open about it. Jose answered the phone. Okay. Jose answered the phone. He said, "Hello," and I said, "Is Mr. McAdoo there?" And he goes, "Is this Mr. Garcia?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes, it is." He goes, "This is Mr. Garcia."
Oh, wow.
Mr. Jose Garcia.
Oh wow.
And then he told me, he said, "Isn't it funny that my name is Garcia? I guess Tony likes to surround himself with Garcia men to yell at."
That is too good. But did Mr. McAdoo love it? Did he love it?
He had a great sense. He loved it. He had a great sense of humor about it. I talked to him for a while. He was great.
Here's one thing before we get to all these phone calls for you. About the show, I have this question. When you come up in a year, I mean, you got like 23 episodes, 20 episodes, something like that. So for this year, do you have already all 20 premises that Earl is going, or 20 plus premises that Earl's going to have to go back and fix something else that he screwed up? How many do you have already, or do you have them all already?
We don't have them all already. We've got about, of the 22 that they've ordered, we've got 11. We got about 13 or 14. And what we did this year, which we didn't do last year, is we know a lot of stuff that's going to happen with Earl and our other side characters, and we kind of map that out. So we know how the season is going to end. We just don't know a little bit of the middle, but we're doing these. Last year, every episode started and ended pretty much on its own, and there weren't any stories that were continuing. This year, there's going to be continuing storylines.
Awesome. Dude with a beard. Just that's only been on screen like for 1 second, where it's like it's the slow motion. God damn. I mean, you come up with some funny stuff.
It's kind of weird because you write it almost like a novel. I mean, you got the beginning, you got the end, and then you got to fill in the blanks a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to calls. We've been monopolizing you and. We've told our listeners how incredibly insecure you are,
yeah.
Even though you're a big-time Hollywood boy. So we are ready to get these calls from around America, much of America as we reach, and they're going to tell you now how much they love your show. So let's that way. We've told these guys, be on your best behavior here, please. All right. Hello, you're on the air with Greg Garcia, Hollywood boy.
Emmy award-winning.
Don't forget tonight, the premiere of My Name is Earl, 8 p.m. East, 7 p.m. Central on NBC. Hello, you're on the air.
Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, sir.
Greg, I love your show. You have a brilliant cast, great writing. You have nothing to worry about any other shows ever. I mean, I just love your show. The whole family does. And I wanted to give you an especially a big thank you for telling Nadine. Thank you for the Chicano community when she was yelling at the other character there.
When she speaks in Spanish and she speaks directly to our Latin Latin American listeners. Yeah, she's going to be doing more of that this year. In fact, in episode 2, she also goes back to work as a stripper, so that'll be exciting.
Oh, hello. Thank you for that. All right.
And her boss is Burt Reynolds.
Excellent.
Hold on a second. Huh? How? We were talking about Burt Reynolds yesterday in those commercials he does for Miller Lite.
Yeah.
In real life, how ready to fall apart new and improved Joker products is his face?
You know, this is hard for me. I'm a Burt Reynolds fan, and he came into the show. He, you know, it's no worse on TV than it is in person.
Right.
See if I can say that. You know,
A truly diplomatic. You have covered your ass and answered the question comedically at the same time.
It's no worse in person than it is on TV.
I'm a huge Burt Reynolds fan, and I have a Smoking the Bandit Trans Am, actually, and he signed it for me.
Wow.
And he signed it Greg with 2 G's, and I don't spell my name Greg with 2 G's, but I'm going to maybe now have to legally change it because I don't want him to be wrong.
Burt's slowing down at all, or does he still like to cut up off camera and all that good stuff?
You know, he had a thing where he had to slap the brother, Randy, on the show.
Yeah.
And this guy doesn't pull punches. I mean, we're just running the lines with no cameras, and he's smacking him as hard as he can. And it got to the point, after he smacked him like 20 times, I told Ethan, I said, I'll give you $50 every time he slaps you from here on out. I feel terrible. And I think I paid Ethan like another $750.
Wow.
He just crushed him.
Fortunately, we now know you can afford that, Hollywood boy. Jay Leno, excuse me, with your car collection, with your...
Let me just ask you this.
A Marky Mark and Rockstar driving around in the Batmobile.
Curious. Greg, just tell us, because I know we asked you this last time we had you on the show. Are you set? Is it? I mean, right now, you're done, right? I mean, you want to do more, obviously. You're a young guy, but you're set. If you had to, you can live off this, right?
Yes, I can be done if I would.
Attaboy. Thank you, Greg. Greg, I appreciate your honesty.
All I need in life is a couch and a nice TV, so.
All right, bingo. That's good enough for me.
All right, here we go. Another call for Greg Garcia. Hello. Don and Mike Show, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Greg, how are you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, I want to thank you for the outstanding contribution you make to my life every week.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice.
It's outstanding. You actually have bridged a gap between my 18-year-old son and I. We actually have something in common that we can really focus on.
Oh, cool. Well, that's very nice to hear. Thank you very much.
Outstanding. We love you, man.
See, there are a lot of people.
This show is a certified smash hit.
Even this morning, I don't know, I sound like a big man. I don't know if you caught it. Jason Lee was on Regis.
T-voted. I haven't seen it
okay,
yet.
Okay, we have to watch it because it's quite obvious Regis has never seen the show.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. Someone has hit Regis to the fact, though, that the show's incredibly hot. Mm-hmm. So Regis just every 5 seconds says, and hey, Pippa, you know who's on the show today? My name is Earl!
that's how he describes him. Jason Lee. No need to do that.
He has no concept of the show. Right. No concept of except he just knows it's hot, and the name is My Name is Earl.
You're paying something back, right? Is that the way it works?
I heard he called him Earl, too.
He called him Earl twice.
Yeah.
You should watch it. You'll get a goof on that. Hello, Donna Mike. You're on with Greg Garcia.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, bud.
Real quick, I just want to say love the show. I think the cast is fantastic. And for the first time in my life, I'm proud to say that I went to Frostburg State University.
All right, the Fighting Bobcats.
There's finally a success story to come out of that college, so I appreciate it very much because before I wouldn't even tell people.
Frostburg have male cheerleaders, guys? I was curious. We were talking about male cheerleaders
Yeah, Greg,
before.
Did they have male
cheerleaders? I know there was one guy in particular. Well, no, he was the mascot. He wore that Frostburg, that Bobcat head. He always would ask my, who is my wife now, out, and she would try to avoid him. But I don't know if we had male cheerleaders.
We were wondering earlier today if male cheerleaders are universally faggots.
There was one male cheerleader.
Excuse me, queers.
There was one male cheerleader at Frostburg State. It was Jose Garcia.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, hold on. Here's, well, what am I saying? Here's another one. They're all for you. Hello, Donna Mike Show. You're on the air with Greg.
Hi, how are you, Greg? Hey, listen, just a quick question. Well, first of all, there is a male cheerleader in the White House that you should discuss, but the... When you do casting for the show, which comes first, casting or, you know, do you have someone in mind when you're writing it, like Burt Reynolds playing, you know, running a strip joint, which is perfect for, you know, how does that work, if you could describe that for us?
Sometimes it's a mix. I mean, we're fortunate now that we're caught on that sometimes people will call up, their agents call up and say, hey, this person wants to do the show.
Wow.
So we'll write something, you know, for them, or in the case of like Giovanni Ribisi or Juliet Lewis, they happen to be friends with some of our cast members.
Excuse me. Well, when's he coming back on? Is he coming back on this year?
He's doing an episode this year. We already shot it. It's fantastic. He's amazing, and it's tough to get him because he does the features and stuff, but he's doing one episode we have already shot this year, and he's fantastic.
What about Beau Bridges?
Bridges, we don't have anything yet for this year, but we're going to use them at some point this year.
You know,
we just shot an episode with Roseanne.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Oh, wow. It's great when it's hot, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's great. She wanted to do it, and then we just used Amy Sedaris, and then we got
Christian
Slater and Jenny McCarthy coming up.
Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ, excellent. Who don't you have on this show, Hollywood
Wow,
boy?
That's fantastic.
No wonder you're driving the Batmobile autograph. Now, hold on. This Trans Am you're driving. It's
Smokey and the Bandit.
It's black with the gold. But I don't drive it every day. I drive it in like, in fact, you'll see it if you watch.
You keep it in the warehouse. You keep it in the warehouse with your other cars, right?
Yeah, it's in my garage. I have that in a Prius and a Volvo station wagon. I'm very Hollywood.
And you got him to sign it, though.
I did. I got him to sign it.
Where did he sign it, Greg?
He signed it two places. One right by the stick shift, and then I had him sign it inside the glove compartment just in case the sun hit the inside and
That is very cool.
Greg, has the Trans Am been in the show? Because I think I've seen a Smokey and the Bandit car in the show.
Yeah, we used it last year. It's one of the main reasons we wrote that episode, so I could just get the show.
Oh,
the
I
car
understand. I understand. Cool. Right, Hollywood Boy tax write-off.
Yeah, exactly. And then I charge the show to rent it.
There we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on with Greg Garcia, who obviously has nothing to worry about.
Right.
Please. He is so anxious about his show tonight. Got to pull a huge rating. Hello, you're on the air.
I'd like to talk to Greg.
He's right here.
He's here. Go.
Hey, Greg,
go ahead.
Two things real quick. Did you go to Frostburg State?
I did go to Frostburg State.
And how did you get the premise for the making of the amends?
You know, I just kind of was walking around on the beach in North Carolina, and I came up with this thing. It was just kind of a bunch of things I threw together. Some people ask me, like, was it based on, like, some recovery or something like that, but it is not. It's just, I just thought, I always believed in karma, and I just kind of came up with it.
As far as Earl, I know this is a trite question, but I am curious about it. Earl, based on a collection of people you knew, or did you come out of your mind? Is this how it worked?
Just kind of came out of my mind. You know, okay. I mean, I certainly, you know, I like the world of trailer parks and that kind of stuff. I had a friend who writes on the show now that lived in a trailer park in Fairfax for a little bit, and when I went over there, it would be like Disneyland to me. And in fact, I remember when I was like 12, we were over there and we went to some guy's trailer, and he was playing this just filthy David Allan Coe tape for us, and we were listening to it just laughing. And then about 2 years ago, we were sitting in my house and we downloaded the same music, and I looked at my friend, we were laughing, and I looked at him, I said, you know what, we've come a long way and we've gone nowhere.
Yeah, we say that every day. That's great.
Well, listen, the premiere of this show, as we've said before, and don't worry about this rating.
No.
Especially with this, with Grey's Anatomy being a repeat. Mm-hmm. You guys are going to kick Survivor's ass tonight.
I hope so.
Season premiere, My Name is Earl. It's tonight on NBC. The last question I have for you, who, seriously now, who is more big time? Is it you or Mr. Tony? Who is more big time, you or Kornheiser?
I got to go with Kornheiser. I mean, the man is...
I disagree. He could not walk away from it today.
Right.
He could not walk away from it today.
Yeah, he's still slaying the dragon.
He still has not met a job he's turned down.
But the man is on, I mean, he's on Monday Night Football.
I know he is.
For crying out loud.
But you're an Emmy winner for crying out loud.
I don't know. I got to give the nod to Tony.
Tony Kornheiser.
Always, always.
Well, you know what? We are very, I tell you, I was so proud of you. I really was to see you make that great speech at the Emmys. And you deserve the success. You seem to get funnier every time we have you on the show. And good luck with everything.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Right. Appreciate it.
Good talking to you, Greg.
All right.
All right, dude.
Bye. Goodbye.
There he is, Greg Garcia.
Wow.
He's network and Tony is cable.
He's network, Tony's cable.
True? He was our intern for a while, and then he went and he interned with Tony Kornheiser when Tony Kornheiser had a radio show. And he used to do all kinds of nasty crap for us.
Yeah, he did. I mean, way back when.
Not mean stuff, not nasty mean, like nasty, like gross. Like it would be like, oh, we had a contest with people eating or like. One time we used to do the dumbest, hackiest stuff. Not that we don't now, but we had at one point big squares out in the parking lot, and we had a cow out there, and everybody had to pick the square that the cow would take a crap in.
Right.
Well, at the end of the show, there was like cow crap all over the parking lot,
and he was one of the guys that had to take care of that.
And as Mike and I would get into our cars,
see you later, Greg.
Say bye. Have a nice day, Greg. Did you pick up my stuff at the store? Beautiful. Thank you.
And that's why I thought, really, we might have a shot at getting in on that speech, but it didn't work out that way, unfortunately.
I remember one time.
As we drove away in your Peugeots.
Remember the one day he got the maddest at me was the day that I asked him to pick up dry cleaning.
Yeah.
And at the time it was.
Did he get mad and do it, or did he get mad and not
do
it?
No, he got mad and did it.
Right.
He got mad and he did it.
Sure.
It was like, he said, I'm supposed to pick up your dry cleaning?
And yeah, and I think you said something like, yes, surfer boy, you're supposed to do that.
To look at him now,
yeah.
You would not know that he used to have long,
blonde hair,
coffee cake color, like streaked natural.
We called him surfer boy,
yeah,
didn't
surfer
we?
Surfer boy, yeah.
Absolutely.
He was a poon magnet as well. Anytime we'd send him out, anytime we had a dirty job, yeah, like I said, like a cleanup job, it'd be send the pretty boy.
Right. Yeah.
Send the pretty boy.
Used to be we'd feel old where we go out to an appearance or something and somebody say, I listened to you in elementary school. Now it's old when you see one of your interns bald accepting an Emmy Award for best writing.
And it happens all the time.
And it happens all the time. Yeah, constantly.
We got more hair than he does, Mike.
We do have more hair than he does. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
Thanks, Greg Garcia. Now, we ran late today. I want to keep Buzz's news on schedule.
Okay.
Let me see. It's 5:40.
Doing the math in your head?
Carry the one.
I'll give you two options for a short break coming up so we have plenty of time for Buzz. The Jerry tapes are out of the question.
Right.
Because they are too freaking addictive.
They are.
I guarantee
that will not be a short break.
If we got
stop.
To it, we would not get the Buzz's news today. We can either hear from a list the greatest guitar solos of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a very good list from Maxim magazine about the ugliest women on television.
Hmm. Oh, I like that.
Anasawa Kong!
I disagree.
Like Greg Garcia is really worried about tonight. Jesus, you know he can do that show's on, go out in his big Burt Reynolds car.
Oh, that says it right there. He's got the Smokey and the Bandit car.
What the hell does he care if anybody watches that show?
Right.
I appreciate that about him, though, that he's still hungry and he's not taking it for granted.
More successful he gets, the funnier he gets,
all
too.
Right, here we go, everybody. Make us laugh. Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What I was dying to tell you at the time was, and we got caught up in the heat of the moment there,
right?
That there's so many more things that we can do here now.
Yes.
Besides having Barber Day.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I want you to close your eyes for a minute.
All right. I think I might know what it is.
I don't know. I'm pretty excited.
Pretty good.
Think so? Okay.
Where is
Open your eyes. Merry Christmas.
Jarts!
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby!
We
want to thank...
Jarts, the whole box, box.
We're right. Playing Jarts today.
I'd love to see a date on that box. That looks like a vintage set.
We are going outside today to play Jarts. We want to thank loyal listener Glenn Rigby.
Look, Glenn, at that vintage
package. Who brought
package.
This game. Bye. Now.
That lethal product.
These are your Jarts.
The price is still on.
Yeah, how much was it?
$3.49 at Caldor.
$3.49.
There is. Now I'm telling you, this is dangerous.
Oh, look at
Mike. Take a jarn.
Yeah, these things are.
You couldn't take one on an airplane.
These are. It says official size and weight. An outdoor game of skill for adults.
Now, you know what? Something
else today is that what, Robbie?
It's illegal. eBay won't let you list the metal ones.
Now
you're not even allowed to sell them on eBay.
These jarts are.
Well, these are metal, aren't they?
Yeah, but these a listener dropped off. We didn't get these.
But you know
eBay.
What they've been done? They've been modified. Look.
Oh, what do you mean?
Haven't they? Do you think they've been screwed with?
Sharpened?
No, because I think they're always been that way.
No.
Didn't they have a sharper tip in the old days?
I think this is a sign that they've been used.
Okay, all right.
I think I see use. I see wear on my ways. I see use on mine.
Mine has been used.
I see use on mine, and I see use on mine, too.
High use.
It's so shiny, I see both of you use.
The human skull tends to wear down the tips.
So as we described yesterday, what jarts are they are lawn darts. They are projectiles that you throw up. Now listen to this. That has a hard, sharp edge on it.
How heavy are they?
You almost said that like these.
Ooh, Don. How heavy are they?
I would guesstimate they've probably a pound and a half to 2 pounds.
And a half, 20 ounces. Ooh.
So, I mean, what they're designed to do is you throw them underhanded. They go way up in the air, and then they come down, and you get it into the target.
So, and you get these little
target.
You get these hula hoops that you put together.
Large rubber rings.
Here's one of the little hula hoops.
Yeah, and they definitely have been used. You can tell.
See. Uh-huh. Now, here's what the box says.
These are the targets.
Because this is from when we were kids. Uh-huh. Slider jarts. Warning. Not toys for use by children, even though we all used them when we were kids.
Sure. Now they tell
kids.
Us.
May cause serious or fatal injury.
Nah.
Let's see how to play.
Same could be said for gasoline.
Yeah, I'd love to play by the rules. It's a pretty simple game,
here
right?
Here you go, Mike. An outdoor game of skill for adults.
Okay.
To participate in the world of jarts, you require good coordination and skill, which can be developed by careful practice. Mm-hmm. The object of the game is to land the jarts inside or as close to the target as possible. Mm-hmm. And then, as you can see, it has the picture of the guy. The target is 35 feet away.
Is that the standard length that you're supposed to shoot the jarts?
Mm-hmm. They indicate that you are supposed to throw this killing missile 10 to 12 feet in the air.
You know, you can feel if you just put it up, you know, against you.
You've
you can
got it see against like, your forehead.
You could see where it would go into somebody's temple or eye.
Yeah.
I mean, so these were lethal.
So they're saying what you want to do is throw it 12 feet in the air, and they've got a little diagram here.
Like an arc.
Where it shows the guy throwing the thing up, 12 feet in the air, and it comes right down to the ground.
Because in order to get it that distance, you got to get some air under it.
Right. Because what they look like are... Gosh.
Like they're like darts you would throw, but they're huge.
On
they're
steroids. Right. Imagine darts that look like stealth fighters.
Look like big blow darts from a Charlie Chan movie.
And obviously it's two red ones and two yellow ones for the competition.
For team play.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Let me see if I can find the instructions.
I think the instructions are on the box.
The box is in perfect condition.
Well, it says, before you play the game, it's necessary to read and understand the detailed printed instructions included inside the package.
Do you read the warning that's on the plastic wing of the jart?
Mm. What's it say?
Not a toy for use by children, may cause serious or fatal injury.
Yeah.
Read instructions carefully.
So how far back from the target do you stand?
30 feet.
30 feet.
25 to 35
feet. 25 to 30, and you throw 12 feet into the air in an arch.
Now, I'd like to know.
It's like a modified version of horseshoes.
They really are. There are no printed.
Are there two targets that came with it?
Yeah.
Point three.
One smaller
horseshoe
than the other?
No, it's just a point of reference. You stand in the first one.
I think I know. This is where the fatality is.
You throw it to
in
the second one.
Because what those are two identical targets that you would space 30 feet apart. And so the reason people were killed is because your opponent would stand at the far end.
Yes.
Thus not requiring retrieval, you see.
Correct.
You want to try to keep the other guy's jarred out of the circle.
Whatever way possible.
And then in round two, you catch them.
Now,
beautifully aerodynamic.
Oh, yes.
The question is really, besides us, who remembers jarts? I mean, John, you don't count.
I believe lawn darts. Would they also be called lawn darts?
Yes.
Was there another variation of them that was called lawn darts?
Mm-hmm. And these are special. These are called slider jarts. And as you can see, the metal tip actually moves back and forth on
well,
it.
Well, I think, are they called on the package slider darts? Because I think yes. they're, so they're a different, they would there be, were bigger jarts,
these are
right?
Modified,
these
I
would know. Be, I think, I'm no expert on these things, but I would guess that these would probably be the last generation of jarts mm-hmm. allowed on the market.
I think you're right.
And the ones that they tried to spiff up, you know, with this sliding bullet on the end of this thing.
Right.
That really could just go right through some kid's head.
And there's really
like a knife
tip.
Through warm butter.
It's a safety tip because after about an inch and a half, it gets thicker. Yep. So it could really only penetrate your skull by like 2 inches.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah, but the original, I do think that out there somewhere, there are also jarts that were far more lethal.
Oh, there were. The ones that you and I played with, Mike,
right.
I'm sure. You're thinking like me. They were totally made of metal.
They were metal, and they also it was a dart point on the end of them.
Yes, I mean these have some plastic on them.
Yeah.
The other ones had no like these have plastic wings. What? When we were kids, the wings were made of metal too.
Wow. I still think that if you caught this like on a 12-foot arc, this could definitely put your eye out.
Oh, sure.
No question
through
about
your
Are you kidding? Yeah. This could go through your skull.
It'd kill you.
That's my skull.
It'll flat out kill you.
I mean, it hurts.
I'm so jarts.
Oh, man, I love jarts.
All right, well, let's go ahead and go outside and play some jarts.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I remember growing up a jarts fan.
Okay, and thank you.
All right, thank you for sharing the story.
Bye!
Sorry about the injury.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I have a great jarts story.
Okay, tell us your jarts story.
Okay.
I lived in Long Island, New York, and this was probably 1968, 69.
Okay.
We lived in Sands Point, Long Island. Next door to the people my mom worked for was Emerson Boozer.
Emerson Boozer.
Formerly of the New York Jets.
You bet.
We drive down to go, all the kids, hey, they're having a party. Joe Namath is there. We look over the fence. They're all playing jarts.
Joe Namath played jarts.
Yep.
Was he struggling?
Yeah.
I
was about 7 years old.
I would imagine that, seriously, in those days, when they were more dangerous jarts because they had the pointed end, drinking and playing jarts was probably a really bad idea.
But back then, kids didn't drink like they do now.
Right.
No. I mean,
exactly.
Now 7-year-olds get drunk.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, this is Drew. I got my set of jarts for my 10th birthday in the summer of 78. And
now we've covered a length of 10 years now. We've got one decade of jarts because the other guy said 68 and you're saying 78.
I got them for my 10th birthday. This is the best non-lethal jart story you will hear.
Okay.
Nice qualifier.
All right, go ahead.
So I'm standing, my brother and I are at either end of the front yard. I'm over by the neighbor's yard throwing towards my brother, the opponent, who's next to the driveway. I haul back and let this sucker whip after playing for a little while, try to get as much air underneath as possible. Thing sails up, clears my brother's head, comes straight down at a dead on 90 degree angle, right through the hood of the Oldsmobile station wagon.
Wow.
Yeah.
It stuck straight up at, I mean.
So we have now established the fact that, yes, the lethality of jarts where they could go through sheet metal.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking the old time station wagon with the wood panel on the side, too.
Now I'm
the Oldsmobile Delta 88 station wagon.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission banned jarts in the United States in December of 1988.
That's 20 years they took to figure it out.
The end of the jart.
But John has just found on the internet there is an upcoming jarts tournament. So it still exists.
Sure.
Is it like an under? Is it like
Club? But they must not sell them anymore.
Right.
Right, Yanni?
No, you can't buy them anymore. But you can. I'm trying to figure out where they had this.
What?
Thank you once again, the dynamic John Norman and Rob. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Didn't know you were going to talk to him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I have a jart story.
Okay.
I grew up in Connecticut, much like Mike, and all I remember is the jarts nightmare, because as kids, my family loved to play the jarts at the outdoor barbecues, and I just remember get out of the way, getting screamed at, like jarts was my nightmare, because you could just be walking and the jart would be flying at you.
You know what, you're right, and it was always like at a family gathering.
Yeah, and there would be little ones around, and that's why it was always like a 5-year-old that ended up buying a farm.
Watch out!
The jar's coming down.
Yeah. You know, meanwhile, you got dad with a beer that's throwing this thing 30 feet up into the air.
That's how it ended.
What could possibly go wrong?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi. Last call here, and then we are going to go outside and play some jarts.
I have a story that we used to sharpen them with our father's grinder.
To make them even sharper.
Penetrate better into the ground.
Right, make it more fun.
Well, you know, that was part of the problem, really, part of the challenge of jarts was throwing them high enough
to get the velocity to go into the ground.
So that when they came down, they would come down fast enough, right, to just stick right in the grass.
Because if I remember correctly, if I remember about jarts, wasn't the rule they had to stick in the ground? You couldn't, like, have them lying down.
You could not. They had to be. And do you remember, like, arguing with a guy if it would be stuck at an angle?
And leaning on the ground?
And the big metal
wing
of it would be outside the circle.
Mm-hmm.
You could stand there with your friends for an hour and argue about it.
You want a total perpendicular entry into the ground for a jart.
And if you get them real sharp, you can play on asphalt.
You could. Technically, you're right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Howdy.
We're in a crowd of people.
I remember a jart story. I took in some jarts and killed this guy cat. It was my neighbor, and it was an accident. I said, hey, let's kill the cat. But I accidentally hit the cat.
Well, did you get the cat with an arc, or did you, like, throw the jart like a dart?
I threw it like a dart.
Oh, like a dart.
Oh, you're right. That is a good story. Thank you.
See, not only just the danger of the game itself, but it could be used as a weapon.
Right? Don and Mike show.
Maybe
hello.
The cat was in the circle.
I tell you what, friends.
Hello.
I tell you what. I guarantee you, no way you could carry this in your carry-on luggage.
Right.
Oh, no.
No way could you carry a jart on an airplane.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it had gel on it?
Forget it.
I have a question about the jarts that we have here.
Yeah.
Are you supposed to wedge the plastic tail up to the nipple up here so that it stays steady?
No, I would say you do it like this.
Okay,
So you get it. You can hold on to the tip and throw it like...
What does it say on the box?
Yeah, what's the
box?
Guy in the picture doing?
We'll tell you how to do it.
I thought you held it by the feather, actually.
No. The guy in the picture is holding it like this. He's holding it by the stick.
Uh-huh.
He's pushed the feather all the way up by the head of it.
Ah.
All right. You see that?
Well,
so you throw it with the stick.
It depends on how they fly.
Put the feather by the head.
Just like this. I'll try it in the ceiling right now.
Keep them good luck.
It didn't stick in the ceiling, but it made a hole in the ceiling.
It was too heavy to stay up there.
Yeah, gravity was your enemy there.
See, always is.
That was not a good idea.
No, but it was a good idea.
That was not a good idea. That's the first piece of damage in our brand new pristine studios.
And the tiles were so perfect.
Big friggin' hole in the wall.
The tiles were so
hole
perfect.
In the ceiling.
Now we have to order a ceiling tile.
Oh, wow. Just I can't wait to play.
Jart Man, are you still there?
No.
Nope. Hello? Yes. All right, well, adios.
All right, good.
Adios, my friend. When we come back, we're going outside.
Do we have a jart arena, a jart track?
We will be between the roads, Old Georgetown Road and Montrose, Rockville Pike. It's that flat area.
Oh, that's where all the commuters are going by. That adds an element of danger as well.
I'm
going
to move my car.
All right, Rob, go get the course set up.
Yes, I only have 9 minutes.
We have, we have four jarts, which means... No waiting.
That's right.
Come on by.
One of us on... now, are we going to do teams or are we going to do individual competition here?
Oh, I think it should be you and I against the other boys.
Ah, that's a good idea.
Sounds
don't
fair.
You think so?
Very good. Fantastic.
What could possibly go wrong?
And that way, also, if you and I are on the same team, I think it helps the odds that neither one of us gets taken out by a jart.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If you and I are together, we can see and go, hey, come on, let's run this way.
And when the police are called, we can blame the other guys.
Right.
Perfect. And come back in here and
like
do the
we
show.
Always do.
Absolutely.
We always do.
It's our plan as well.
They did it. Don't hurt me.
Please notify Infinity Healthcare.
We'll be back with jarts. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a summer of jarts. And then Barber Day.
But you're getting killed on.
We'll be right back. I am. Effers. Internet effers.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I think we're ready to go outside. Mike and I have talked about the Rob. What's that say? Where's the melody? Okay. I think we've divvied up the teams pretty evenly. Mm-hmm. It'll be Mike and I against Robin Buzz.
All right. And depending on how this goes, I think disputes on the show with listeners, with whoever, perhaps because we have the courtyard over here that's perfect, all disputes from this point forward should be settled by Jarts.
On Barber Day.
Oh, yeah, I've had enough ideas for today.
No, hold on.
Stellar, fantastic idea.
Hold on.
All right, are we...
Yeah, Mike, you go wireless first. Right. And I'll get you set up and set your level.
Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. How does that sound? Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Good.
All right, Buzz, get your...
Should I make my way over to the courtyard?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. I'll be right there.
All right, very good.
Hold on, let me just turn that off.
Sounds excellent. Sounds awesome, guys.
Testing 1, 2.
Joe Artinger to the air studio. Joe Artinger to the air studio.
Is that on the air, Rob?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm able to hear everything.
There we go. All right, we all got our microphones now.
You're going wireless, Don?
We're all outside.
What a glorious, fabulous, spectacular, incredible day this is.
Perfect. I told you yesterday.
To be in Rockville, Maryland.
I told you yesterday. You kept saying it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain.
You know, I don't know what I was thinking.
You said it's going to be beautiful.
I had no idea what I was thinking.
It's a good thing that I didn't take you up on that bet.
Well, I think the real clear air has, provided us with a clearer head so you can come up with those cockamamie ideas like Barber Day.
You know what I love? Right by where we're going to be having our Jarts tournament.
Right.
Big sign. Watch out for traffic. No trespassing. State Highway Administration.
Yeah, well.
We're not trespassing. We're competing.
Now, don't you think that that's really designed for?
We got to watch out for
the power. There's our course.
We got to watch out for the power cords
right over here. We'll be fine.
Don't you think that that's probably designed so this area doesn't become a little squatter's park or whatever they used to call it in the 30s?
Yeah, you could. This seems like a place where maybe you could score something on a
weekend.
Hold
on a second. All right, here we go.
Needle Park.
Mike is measuring off our distance.
Look, the Navy's here.
Oh, the guy. Are you the same guy that came last time we came outside? The guy in the sailor suit? Gotcha, friend.
Man, this is some. You know what? This is some serious firm ground out here. This is terra firma. Yeah.
This will be a test of the Jarts.
Jarts. Here we go. Oh, hi, Johnny. Here's me with my Jart. Hi. Hi. It's a Jart.
Buzz, I guess we get to the far side of the court.
And we're the red
Thank
team.
You for your service to our country, young man.
Now, listen. Come on over and you can.
I'm not standing in their way.
You stand over here, but
well,
out
you
of
have
the way.
To stand at your. It's you. It's you and Rob against Don and me.
I understand.
You can be the impartial observer. What's your name?
I'm Bob.
And Bob, what's your rank in the Navy?
I'm an E6, first class petty officer.
And Bob, let me ask you a question. Are you big into wagering?
I do wager and usually lose quite often.
Right now, as it stands, you're looking at the two of us and the two of them. This is the competition right here. If you were a betting person, what would be your gut right now?
Buzz Burbank.
You think Buzz is the natural athletic ability? Oh, you are so
I
wrong.
Hope you don't get sent to Iraq.
Yeah, we don't want to put you in any intelligence outfits, that's for sure.
You won't know.
Now,
could be good, Buzz. This could be your sport.
Will you attest for everybody that these are regulation Jarts and that this thing is heavy? Take it. Go ahead, hold
official
on.
Official Jarts regulation sponsor, I would say yes. These Metal. Are official Jarts.
Do you have anything like that on the USS Indianapolis?
I don't think he can hear you, Rob.
Are you on the NRD Philadelphia? Is that your ship?
Recruiter for Navy Recruiting District Philadelphia. I recruit out of Baltimore, Maryland.
I got you.
How many men went into the water? How many came out?
Right,
the Sharks got the rest.
Let's play.
Just to say, these Jarts have been certified by the United States Navy.
Thank you, Mike. I think, who wants to go first, red team or yellow team?
How about the red team goes first?
It's smoke before fire. So
Rob,
be yellow.
Speed bump. Well, now
all right, now the idea, what is now is the rule to stand in back of your circle?
I think anywhere behind your circle would
anywhere,
be legal.
Anywhere right. behind your circle.
No, hold
first.
On a second. It seems to me they should be farther apart. Is that?
That's 30 feet.
30 feet.
I agree, but I think really you're going to see that the degree of difficulty is significant even from this small. But you know what? We've got plenty of room. Right. I don't know how our range is, but
hey,
we could
hold on,
really
Mike,
go
can
crazy.
Can you and I warm up for a second?
Yeah.
Hey, Buzz, get out of the way.
All right. All right, here we go.
Get out of the way.
Tell us twice.
Now, I'm really going to try to watch out for this power cord.
Where are you throwing? Do you want to warm up back here from the regular distance?
Hey, Mike, can you hold my microphone for a second?
Yes, absolutely. Don is going to throw his jar. He's going to try
it's
to get
a test toss.
All right, here we go. There, there it goes. Oh, and it's up and perfect.
In the ground.
That's good form.
That's how you do it.
That is really, really good form.
Now, hold on. Let me just get this thing.
Okay.
Run over here and plunk this out. See if you can get the sound of the. Listen to this.
There it is. That went deep into the ground.
Sure
no
did.
Problem. So because you got the arc on it, That worked very well.
It's all in the wrist. Mike, you want to? Do you want to?
I'm going to try the target. I'm going to try a little target run here.
All right. Good luck, Mike.
Here we are. Okay. All right. All right. One, two, three. No, I'm just kidding.
Mike.
I'm kidding, of course. Okay. The sailor enjoyed that. Did you enjoy that? That's a little slapstick for you.
Mike dropped his
And boy, these condos are coming along beautifully, aren't they? All right. Here we go.
The sign's nice.
Okay. Oh, that was terrible. But it's stuck.
It's stuck.
You know what? You got to have a little technique here. You know what? Yeah. That 30 feet is perfect.
Buzz, you want to give it a...
I'd like a practice shot.
I think
everybody gets a practice jart.
All right.
All right, Buzz, go ahead.
Does someone want to mic the target?
Let's see how this
goes. I'll lay my microphone right down on the target.
I'll be brave enough to stand underneath. Go ahead, Buzz.
All right.
This could be serious.
Here we go.
Jesus, Buzz.
Almost got them.
Best throw yet.
Not bad.
That's why people were killed playing this game.
All right, Rob, your turn. Mike and I will again try to stand by it and get the sound of it.
I'm going to look for a 12-foot arc.
All right.
Here we go. Look at that big guy go.
Ah, terrible. Worst throw of the day.
Enough of this pansying around
it's
here.
Time to play.
Time to play serious jarts.
What's on
the line here, Bob? Today, the jart players will be playing for, who knows?
Jarts.
A brand new condo, the M Condominiums.
I'm playing for R of R.
R of R?
Retards of Rockville.
Retards of Rockville.
I'm playing for a young boy named Tom Gavin tonight.
I'm playing for the NWGA, the National Weight Gain Association. I know that they're a fine cause. And Rob, who will you be playing for today?
The North American Haircutters.
Very good. Buzz, who will
you
be playing for?
Aren't you playing for the United Negro College Fund?
Oh, yeah, that's
always
right.
Adult Film Stars of America.
All right,
very good. I'll my microphone.
We will begin with Don. Don, this is your first legitimate dart. You want to go over by it and mic it, Rob? Or?
More than anything.
Here we go. One. Well, I'm not going to count for you.
Dreamed of this.
Oh.
Very close.
Did not penetrate the earth, though.
Oh, it did not penetrate?
No penetration.
Do we do teams or do we go back and forth? I think we go back and forth.
Oh, you're right. It's but either about Buzz or away. Rob's turn.
I'll go because I'm closer.
Mine landed about 5 feet away. And Rob's right. It did not penetrate.
All right.
Closer
here
than
comes
that.
Rob.
No!
Very nice.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Rob.
Four or five feet away.
If I remember my jarts, because mine didn't go in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If Rob's is the closest and didn't go in, he wins.
Okay, the first round.
Yeah, closest.
It'll
to
be
the
one
circle.
To nothing.
Right. Okay, come on, Mike. Make it happen now. Here we go. It's Mike and.
Oh.
Hey, goddamn good one.
There we are.
Six inches away from the target.
Right. You're much closer.
Perfect
one to nothing.
Penetration.
Are we going to play best of something?
We'll play best of three.
All right, here comes Buzz.
All right, here comes mine.
Here he comes. And
a wild one.
I'm sorry, that's not as close as mine.
We won the first round.
Advantage,
now, do we switch?
O'Mara.
Hey, Don, I think we switch colors
sides.
Now.
Oh.
We switch. That's the way it works, so we don't have to walk all the way over there.
Okay. All right.
Convenient.
If it's a lazy shortcut, count on me. Count on me for that one. No problem at all.
Now, do we reverse order so Buzz goes first?
Yeah, we probably should.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What, Mike?
We're in a freshly mowed field just off the highway, and I believe I see a human hand. No. I'm kidding.
All right, here's Buzz. Here comes Buzz.
Here we go.
And, whoa!
I think I seriously just found the Black Dahlia.
Buzz, let me mark that with my feet. That's one, two. That's like 2.5 feet away.
That's a good toss.
Not bad. All right, Mike, you hold my microphone?
Yep, go ahead. Here we go. We're playing jarts on Rockville Pike. What a lovely day for it. Oh, good. In the circle!
Absolutely perfect. In the circle!
In your face, Spiewak! In your face, Burbank!
Wow. You did it.
Touchdown!
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Touchdown! Oakland Raiders, the holy roller!
Yes, sirree.
Look at that!
Ma'am, you're going to always be able to tell that baby of yours she was here when the first successful jart bullseye was had.
Get that picture, John.
Damn!
Look at that. You know why that happened, Mike? My calves.
That's incredible. Right.
The immaculate reception.
That is incredible because really we cannot stress enough the degree of difficulty to get it. I mean, what would be the diameter of that circle?
I would call that an 18-inch diameter.
Yep. 18 inches, 30 feet away.
It's about as big as Kirstie Alley's.
But you know what? The competition continues.
One of them anyway.
So we can tie.
All right.
All right.
Right, because she's got two.
That's
boss.
Right.
Okay.
She has the room.
Here comes Rob Spiewak. If Rob gets it in the circle.
Go, Rob.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Can we penetrate?
No penetration.
And now, even though it's really a moot point, Don.
It is.
Mike, Come on, get it in.
Let's see if I can do it. I'd love to match you with this.
Getting it in.
All right, here we go.
Here you go, Mike.
And
oh!
Mike, you are
6, 8 inches away, maybe.
Less than that.
Wow.
You know what? You guys are really besting us.
You're like 4 inches away from the hole, Mike.
This time, Rob.
Well, you know what you want to do? You want to try harder. All right, we're switching now. Right. We're switching.
So it's Omera Geronimo.
Do you want to switch sides, Don? You want to switch sides? And
fine.
Don and Mike.
Well, you want to do it from this side now? Hi, how are you? How you doing?
2-0.
All right, boys, back down to the other side.
All right.
Here we go.
Don and Mike have the red jarts.
We're back to yellow.
Oh, look, a hypodermic needle. Let's play with it.
You know, has it been used?
No, can I just take 1 second and do it the way we did when we were kids?
Okay.
Over here? Just let me just see how high in the air.
Yeah. We can do it out in that field out there.
Wild throw.
Right, all right, go ahead. Very good. Here it goes. Wing it. Wing it.
Chuck it.
Here we go. That's the way.
Breeze at his back. It's in the air.
Over his shoulder. All right. Good stuff. That's the way to play jarts, and that's when they were pointy, and they had
and
the pointy end.
That was almost
a Tom Gavin clap.
That wasn't Tom Gavin.
That thing goes straight up and goes about 15 yards the other way.
Right.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, I like the real funny things you find in these abandoned fields next to the highway.
Now who have you found?
I'm finding what looks to be some sort of sheath.
See if you can find any evidence of the old arrow.
I think I saw Jimmy Hoffa.
All right, Buzz, you're going first in this round. Incidentally, the score, Don and Mike 2, Robin Buzz, Zippy.
We've already won.
That's right. Well, we'll see about
playing
that.
All right, here comes Buzz.
11, right?
Buzz with the low trajectory, but not really working.
No penetration, Buzz.
Don, you're up next.
Behold, every second.
Story of my week.
Don is using the concentration technique without the microphone in his hand. Let's see what happens. Very close.
Very close.
And
very,
moderate
very close.
Penetration. Within it's a judge's call. It's a moderate penetration.
Nothing like that. Moderate penetration. Obviously not what happened to you, ma'am. Just kidding, of course.
Mike's talking to the pregnant lady over there.
That's
the lady
a lovely
baby.
And
now here's Rob.
All right, watch out.
Here we go. Come on,
watch out.
Save the day, Rob.
Get her done.
Get her done, Rob.
Spiwak jart player and...
Ah, right.
No close. Penetration.
Not enough arc.
All right, here we go.
Mike, end with a nice hole in one.
All right, I'd like to do that this time. Here we go. Here we are.
And it's up and... Wow.
It is gone. It is gone into Rob's foot. It is gone into his foot.
Give him credit.
Oh, my God.
Is there a doctor?
Like to thank the Academy?
You know, around houses throughout the 70s and early 80s, that sound would always happen, usually at every barbecue where jarts were being played.
You want to just have one? Just throw them up in the air as far as you can I did?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
Okay, that is fun. Yeah, right. Sure, go ahead.
Here we go.
Why don't we do the same time?
Ready? One.
Hold on. Which end are you holding yours by?
You've got to hold it by the black end.
Hold it by the other end, Mike.
I'm sorry. I got all excited.
Okay, ready?
Watch out, Buzz.
Buzz, get out of the way now.
Got
here
it.
We go. Ready, Mike?
Yep.
And, whoa. God damn, look at those things go.
Yeah.
Oh, I landed on the rocks. Don't hurt me.
Perfect penetration for Don, though.
Hey, you know what we should have? Seriously, the field's long enough, we should have a distance competition.
We should move the targets farther next time.
Well, I think the fun with jarts is about over.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
For this time.
Well, the streetlights are coming on.
Man, I really wish we could play longer. Mom! I want to stay out and play. Oh, wait a minute. I found something else here.
What you found?
Something metal. I think I'm going to get electrocuted. What the hell is this?
I have sandals. Let me kick it.
It looks like a motorcycle part or something.
Yeah.
What is this?
It's a winch. Piece of a winch.
It's a piece of a winch?
Yeah.
With a human finger.
Arg.
With a human finger on it.
Well, let's ask. You know, we actually have some people over here as we head back to work.
Hey, I've got an idea. How about we have the baby crawl across the field? No, I'm kidding.
What they thought about the spectacle of jarts.
Now, this is the age that you didn't want to have a child around with jarts. That was very, very dangerous.
Hi, honey. What's your name?
Laura.
And how old is your baby?
She's 6 months.
6 months, you said?
Would you ever let her play with a toy like this jart?
No.
These are... Let me see. Now, you're 6 months. You don't understand what I'm saying, but these are very, very dangerous. Look at the jart. Look at the jart.
Put them in her mouth, I'm sure.
Yes, sirree.
You'd have to rinse it.
I already did.
Oh, she's playing with the microphone,
like that microphone.
Right now.
And
is the sailor the father? Okay, just checking.
Sure.
And you, my friend, I'm curious what kind of a loser stops by to watch some fat disc jockeys play jarts.
Oh, the kind that just Enjoy. It's a pathetic display of skill. Like,
that's a good answer. You know, you thought a while. You came up, but you came up with the A answer.
Good
that's
answer.
Very good.
What's your name?
Joe.
Now, Joe, what did you think?
I had these toys when I was a kid, and
Jarts rule.
You want to give it a shot? Come right. on, Joe. Knock yourself out.
You know, we'll do. Yeah, put the targets out again.
Let our listener go. Let Joe give it a try. I tell you what, Joe, why don't you try to whip that baby as far as you can?
All right, go ahead.
Like when you were a kid. All right, here's Joe, our listener.
Oh, wow. Yeah, baby. Wow.
Distance.
Look at that.
Right in.
Now go get it, Joe.
Gee, Rice.
All right, now like what I'm going to do, Joe, Rob's going to have you run and get it, and I'm going to throw the jar as you're running. No, I'm kidding. I want to see the distance. I want to see how much air
try
I can
to get it far.
Yeah, here we go.
Joe's
as far as he did?
Distance, not height. Through the power lines and
oh, all right. Let me try one for
penetration.
Distance.
There you go.
Distance is fun, and you know this is really because Jarts in and of itself so very boring a game that immediately you'd go to other games that would make it more interesting.
Right.
And that's got the distance. Line. Jarts, fantastic.
I had more distance than
can
me,
you
Mike.
See though the evolution of Jarts as far as why people would be injured because as kids. How long, seriously, on the interest scale would this last with your average 9-year-old?
Listen, first off, you'd be like us. You'd be bored with the little
immediately
hula hoops.
Bored.
First thing you'd say is, let's move another 30 feet back.
Right.
Then it becomes the distance competition, and then what do you want? And you want moving targets.
And then it's like, let's all just throw them up in the air as high as we can and run away.
And it's also going to result in a height contest, and that's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Very
all right,
bad.
Buzz, let's end this. Give it your best shot.
All
go
right.
ahead, Buzz.
Last throw for distance.
All right, let's see how Buzz does in the distance.
Here he goes.
Turn this around.
Here he goes.
There he goes.
Natural athlete. Hold on. Yeah. He didn't make it out of the
unfortunately, he didn't even make it across the rock road.
Landed in the rough.
That's
make
a
it over
shame.
The rocks.
Technical foul.
That's just such a shame. It yes. truly is. Here comes another. Oh, you missed the competition,
sorry,
sir.
Sorry, you missed it. Show's over.
It was a fantastic little display of skill
Moose
we had.
Out front should have told you. What's your name?
Steve.
Hey, Steve. Hey, what's your name?
Steve.
What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, well, you know what?
Hey, I found something else. It's a completely full adult diaper. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, would you guys like to be a part of the show?
Sure.
Okay, do me a favor. Go get those jarts.
Way on the field.
Thank you.
Go get those jarts that are about 100 yards away.
And congratulations.
Them.
Seriously, you know, it's really not worth it unless, everybody get across the road quickly, please. It's really not a true jart segment unless somebody gets a bullseye and you did
it. That was dumb luck.
Very nicely done.
Dumb freaking luck.
But, man, do I understand how people can get burned on it real quick.
Not me.
Like, oh, hello, baby.
You know, drinking would help that a lot, though.
And hello
you know what?
You,
and
Mike.
That's what dads used to do because jarts would be boring and it's more fun when you drink.
Wouldn't it be great?
Now, really.
To tie Tom to a chair, tie Dennis to a chair.
And see if we can cure them.
Tie Dave to a chair and try Robert the Mailman to a chair and see who can come closest. It's like right. in golf that closest to the pin.
Try to get it between.
All right, you say you got Tom, Gavin, Dennis Murphy, and Robert the Angry Mailman.
Right.
Who does
and,
the jart bounce
Super
off?
Dave.
Who does the jart bounce off of?
Robert Mailman.
Robert Mailman?
Bulletproof.
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think there's no question about that.
We've already found out that Dave's head is not unbreakable.
Yeah, he had that nasty fall in the kiddie pool.
Anybody hear from him?
This is the fun zone at Carnival Studios here.
You know, as we walk back into the building, we get all the weird looks from the people who have offices in this complex.
And that don't have a clue what these two fat guys are doing with microphones in their hands.
Now they just see Rob coming back with a sailor holding freaking jarts in his hand.
So long, Commodore.
Thank you, son of a
bye-bye.
Sailor.
There we go.
Son of a sailor.
Ah, security.
Yes.
Thy name is CBS.
And we make it back into our studios here on Rockville
Pike.
Hi, Joe.
Don and Mike to break, Joe.
This is the Don and Mike Show.